swing it here. Dude, I'm doing well. Like just said, I'm getting my internet going, and I feel like there is a red comet that has appeared sort of over, you know, I don't know, the world, you know, like we're just seeing it across the sky streaking, because it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So
Sandy, Sandy, yeah, it's crazy out there, guys. Lady Jade is in. Everybody's joining in. This is great. This is what we want. Yeah, man, I went to the gym this morning, and let me tell you, the gym itself has been empty. Empty, man. I went on Friday, you know, I went on Friday, and the guy at the desk, I was like, how's it going, man? He's like, you're literally the first person I've talked to all day. Wow, that was crazy, man. It was crazy. And there's nobody there. Like somebody sneezed and like literally everybody stopped and looked at him. I was like, oh my God, man, dystopian future are we living in? Man, this is crazy. Crazy.
I have noticed anybody who sneezes. I even noticed myself one day. I was like, wait a second. Yeah. That was dust. You know, some dust got my nose. I was like that, right? I like started triple checking myself.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
man. I mean, we are. I don't even know what to say, to be entirely honest, man. I mean, you and I talk to each other, and we're just like, Ez and I hype things up, right? You know, Sir Ezra and I hype things up, and we just start talking about away. Like we get a little carried away sometimes. So nothing. I don't really want to hype it up here because I generally do not want people to get like too crazy concerned. But Ez and I are sometimes talking like, I don't know, man. I think the end's coming. I think we're like, you know, we just joke about it. Like we just hype it up, and it's crazy.
Go look at the supermarket. So I mean, that's where I've been. Like I because I'm trying to get some stuff for my apartment and legitimately just get enough for like. Right. You know, some cleaning supplies. You know, you go into a new place, you want to clean it up a little bit. And man, it was like, I got the last thing of Pine Sol.
Oh my God. You know, I'm wondering, right? You know, and I think it's okay to make, like, I think it is, you know, some people are like, well, you know, we should take this serious. I think it is okay to make jokes about the coronavirus. You know, I think it's dark times like these where sometimes we need jokes and stuff like that. Like I certainly don't make jokes about the disease itself or anything like that, but I do think the media is perhaps not helping the situation. I mean, when you do look at like the regular flu, you know, we don't quarantine and stuff like that for that, and that's killed certainly far more people than this has and stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, you sent me the thing about, you know, the ticks might be able to carry it. So now you can get Lyme with your corona and, you know.
And again,
exactly.
It's just like, what are you supposed to do? I mean,
it's unprecedented, man. We are in unprecedented times. I mean, that's what I think.
I mean,
that's what for me, I think is the craziest thing.
Right. Dude, I just got like another email. I'm getting emails all weekend long about just updates on what we're going to do at school, what's happening, the whole thing. And it's just like second by second. And really, you know, it's coming down to this whole idea of like flatten the curve, that whole thing. But wow, dude.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. I'm just wondering, so is it going to be like Valentine's Day and you know, Halloween and Easter, where after the season is over, you know, like you can go buy candy for $1. Is that what's going to be like with toilet paper? Like you can go buy toilet paper for like, you know, I can't wait for the Corona season to be over so I can get that like, you know, $1 toilet paper. Cause that's what, you know, so it's crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like, remember when we had sports, you know, remember when we had sports? Wow. That is crazy.
Oh my gosh. Was it the summer or the spring sickness, right, in the book? And it's just sort of like, not to make a joke about it, but
similar.
Like, we don't know if this is going to like stick around into the spring and into the summer. Like,
yeah, and that, you know. That's the next Dunkin' Egg book is the spring sickness that took everybody. Yeah, and you know, it's actually interesting. I think that's honestly the only time I can think of where there is a specific disease that goes around in this book series that kills people. That's the only one I can kind of think. I'm sure there's probably one in like Fire and Blood and stuff like that where they talk about it more, or World of Ice and Fire. I'd have to go back and look, but that's the certainly the first one that kind of comes to mind as being some sort of major disease that disease that takes people.
Yeah, man,
but it is crazy. So but yeah, doing okay. Went to the gym this morning on my way home, was gonna stop at the store. It was absolutely incredibly packed, and like all I want was, you know, some lunch meat and a coffee. And so I was like, well, forget this, I'll just come back in 2 weeks. Yeah. Right. I guess is the way to think about it. But nonetheless, so anywho, let me pull up my book here. We're going to be talking, well, really whatever you guys kind of want to talk about today, just in our hangout here. But we were going to kind of focus on Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, Duncan Egg. We haven't done a Raven's Nest on that. We're specifically going to be kind of talking the Hedge Knight, right, which is the first novella kind of book inside of that. Inside of that three part series here. And you know what, hey, if people are quarantining themselves, right, because people are saying that in the chat,
yeah,
you know what, read a book, that's what they're there for. I actually saw that a handful of online places are experiencing, online businesses and stuff like that are experiencing insane numbers right now. They said that Steam, which is the online video game store, right, you know, for computers and stuff like that, they said Friday and Saturday were the single, they shattered their records. Absolutely shattered their records. So
wow,
tons of that stuff. But so, okay, so I got my book pulled up here. I think Ez is walking around, but guys, feel free to comment. Yeah. And then people who are in the Discord, we can put you on the show if you guys are, when you guys are ready to talk, just kind of do, we like people to just kind of, in the Discord chat, is like, you know, raise your hand or say, raise my hand, want to talk about this. But so got the book pulled up here, and Ez and I talk about this book a lot, right? Because to me, it's honestly my favorite part of the bigger Song of Ice and Fire series, Game of Thrones, whatever. It's my favorite story in the series, because it feels different. Right. Like, you know, when you think about the book series, or especially the show, and the show, every, you know, it feels like anybody's up for grabs for to die. Right.
Sure.
It just doesn't feel that way with Duncan Egg. It feels like Gurr has a special place in his heart for these two. And
yes.
We know, you know, if you go to the World of Ice and Fire, it's not even directly stated how they die there. It's loose. Right.
Yeah. He can't let go. He's not ready to let go.
Yeah, he is not ready to let go of him. So, our story begins here, kind of in the Hedge Knight. You know, and I love the audiobook. It's read by Harry Lloyd, who plays Viserys Targaryen, in the show, and it starts off kind of somber. We're on a hilltop, right? The spring rains had softened the ground, so Dunk had no trouble digging the grave. He chose a spot on a western slope of a low hill for the old man, who had always loved to watch the sunset. Another day done, he would sigh, and who knows what the morrow will bring us. Well, the morrow had brought rains that soaked them to the bones, and one had brought... And the one after had brought wet, gusty winds, and the next a chill. By the fourth day, the old man was too weak to ride, and now he was gone.
Gosh.
Yeah, man. It's just, you just feel
Sir bad. Arlen. Wow. Yeah,
Sir Arlen of Pennytree. And, you know, that's somebody who I want more of. And this is what I love, because I think for people, you know, if you finish the books and you've watched the show and you say, okay, I want to explore some of this the other parts of the series, to me, this is the best place to go. The absolute best place to go. And I know they're making a prequel about, you know, some of the stuff that happens back with Targaryen dragons fighting each other and, you know, the Dance of Dragons, stuff like that. But this is the one I want. If I were to pick anything, this, even more so than like Robert's Rebellion, any of that stuff, this would be the place.
It's kind of like a stepping stone, you know, it's like a stepping stone to, you know, from I don't know, from the main series and into, you know, this other, well, like I guess if you wanted to keep continuing going backwards into that Dance of Dragons stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. And so, you know, the story kind of gets, we're just going to kind of a broad summary here. You know, the story kind of, as it goes forward here, you know, Dunk buries Sir Arlen Pennytree, who, you know, trained him, found him in Flea Bottom, and he buries him and he says, well, what should I do? I guess I should go, right. I guess I should go to a tourney, right? So we're going to go to the tourney of Ashford, Ashford Meadows, not really that big or important of a town in the bigger Song of Ice and Fire series. I'm going to pull it up on the wiki here. But that's where we're going to go. And we're going to try and fight in this tourney, so hopefully I can make some money. And, you know, Dunk has been training, you know, under Sir Arlen, and he's not really that good as with the lance, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely more of a melee type of guy, but he's going to go, and he's got to go get some armor. He's got to go get some people. And this is also, I think, As we go along the way, we run into somebody. But one of the things, again, that I love about this book or this specific story in the greater Song of Ice and Fire series is just that this is really where I think Gurr gets to a lot of world building, right? Because it's not like mm-hmm. we're under yeah. some big conflict. Like you look at a lot of the Arya chapters, which take place again similar areas. But there's so much importance on everything. You know, Arya's on the run. They're with the Knights of the Night's Watch, and the Lannisters are out, and all this stuff. But here we're going through the same area, but you get a totally different perspective on of these of the, you know, the Riverlands and all this, and you know, and just and the Reach and all these kinds of things.
Yeah, it's also almost like you get caught up in the importance of whatever the plot line is, and then you kind of, I don't know, you might lose track of some of the world building stuff that is taking place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because you're so caught up in the story. So.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 absolutely. So
stakes are high, that kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, and so, okay, so we're heading over to, you know, as we're heading over to Ashford Meadows, we stop, right? We're going to stop at an inn, and this is where we meet, you know, a specific character, Darren Targaryen, right? Who Dunk mm-hmm. Dunk walks into this inn, and he hears this drunken guy who starts looking at him, and he says, you know, I saw you in my dreams, right? You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw you in my dreams, you know, and you've killed a dragon. Whoa, what's what's going on there? It's kind of weird. And then,
right.
you know, he's kind of talking to the innkeeper. You know, he tells him to stay away from him. And the innkeeper's like, you know, never mind that one. All he does is drink and talk about his dreams. So
and he's drunk.
No, he's totally drunk. He says, you know, I dreamed of you. You stay away from me. Do you hear? You stay well away. And then he talks to the innkeeper, and she says, well, you know, whatever. And then he does have kind of a conversation with the innkeeper. And he's putting up his horse outside, right? And there's like a young bald stable boy out there. And you know, he's kind of weird because he's Dunk's like, I want my horse rubbed down, and I want you to tend to him. And he's, you know, and then he kind of mocks him a little bit. He's like, yeah, I could if I wanted. And he's like, oh, I have none of that. I'm mm-hmm. a knight, you know, like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's he'll obviously come back later. So, and then his conversation, I think, with the innkeeper is, you know, I'm going to fight an attorney and win it. And the innkeeper is like, are you now? Right. I mean,
right. sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great. You know, it's just another thing I love about this, because we don't talk about tourneys in the main series. Right. We don't get that talk of tourneys and what, you know, what could possibly happen and all that stuff in the main series.
Yeah, really. And the only experience we really do get is like the hands tourney, but nothing like like not the ins and outs, because again, the stakes are, you know, so high and there's different things going on there. But the one thing about this one, you do get sort of Dunk walking around and stuff, which is pretty cool. So, he's walking around doing, gosh, I don't know, you know, like just like seeing the different tents and the different what have yous and stuff. So you get more of like the list and that kind of thing too, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, obviously stuff is going to go down at this tourney. The only other tourney I can think of is there's a tourney of the hand and the tourney at the beginning of Clash of Kings, right? When Sir Dantas is there and he's getting really drunk and Joffrey is just like killing people, basically, you know? So, yeah, and yeah, again, that's told through Sansa and Tyrion's eyes. And so it's different. It's a totally different perspective because there's so much more weight to it, and it's less about the tourney and more about Joffrey being an evil maniacal, you know, little guy. So Dunk leaves the inn, he goes out, and the boy is on his horse, right? And he's wearing and he's put on the old man's armor, right? He found the stable boy mounted on Thunder and wearing the old man's armor. The halberd was longer than he was, and he'd have to tilt the helm back on his bald head or else it would have covered his eyes. You know, and then Dunk looks at him, and he's like, "Thief, you know, take off that armor." And so this is where it kind of begins for them, right? Their friendship, their journey.
Yeah, right.
And they have one of, I think, the, you know, the funnest, I guess, kind of relationships to me in the series. The only other one that even comes kind of close to this, right? Because everybody's relationship is just so different when you talk about just two people. The only other one that kind of comes off to me like this as kind of fun, Arya and the Hound a little bit, right? When they're kind of doing.
Just because Hound's talking back to him and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then I'd say almost like Jon and Tyrion, where you have the one who's kind of, you got Jon who's like a little more stoic, a little more serious, and then you have Tyrion who's far more like the comic relief, right? Those are really the only kind of other types of like relationships I can think of that come anything close to this.
Right. Yeah, which is pretty. I think that's pretty neat. Like that's sort of the lightheartedness of this one. I mean, it's not as intense and stuff, and so you're able to kind of sit back and enjoy it more, and I don't know. You know how like in the main series, like every little line, like all the dialogue really, really matters, and we super analyze it and everything. This is just more, you know, a night with his squire. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's the funny thing also is that his squire tells him off, right? I mean, his squire is there, and he's
different
telling
dynamic.
Him,
yeah.
Exactly. He's like, you know, Dunk says, "I have no need for a squire. Every knight needs a squire." The boy said, "You more than most." Like, I mean, you would not see that in any other scenario. And of course, you know, we all know why. We kind of leave there, and then we head to the Tourney of Ashford, right? And Dunk is there, and he says, "Well, you know, I need to get some better gear. I need to see if I can sell my horse. I need to, you know, kind of see what's going on, enter myself into the lists." And a couple of interesting things happen.
Yep.
So, one, I got another passage kind of highlighted here, because we get to see a lot of, because remember, this takes place roughly 190, you know, or so years before the main series, so it's not that far off. We walk in and we get to see all these banners and stuff like that. So the Nightingales belonged to, this is just talking about the banners he sees. The Nightingales belonged to Lord Karen of the Marches, and skilled with the high harp as he was with the lance. The crowned stag was for Sir Lionel Baratheon, the Laughing Storm. Dunk picked out the Tarly Huntsman, House Dondarrion's Purple Lightning, the Red Apple of the Fossaways. There roared the Lion of Lannister, gold on crimson, and there a dark green sea turtle of the Eastermonts swam across a pale green field. The brown tent beneath a red stallion could only belong to Sir Otho Bracken, who was called the Brute of Bracken, since slaying Lord Quentin Blackwood 3 years past during a tourney at King's Landing. Dunk heard that Sir Otho struck so hard with the blunted long edge that he staved in the visor of Lord Blackwood's helm and the face beneath it. He saw some Blackwood banners as well. On the west edge of the meadow, as distant from Sir Otho as they could be, Marbrand, Malister, Cargill, Westerling, Swan, Melendor, Hightower, Florent, Frey, Penrose, Stokeworth, Derry, Perrin, Wild. It seemed as though every lord house in the west and the south had sent a knight or three to Ashford. So, I mean, this is a big time tournament. There's a lot of people here. And so, I mean, there's just, it's a big deal. There's a ton of people here. You know, as we progress on a little bit here, yet, however fine the pavilions were to look upon, he knew there was no place there for him. So, Dunk is there and he doesn't really, he's a small time, you know, we talk about hedge knights. And so these, you know, hedge knights, smaller, they don't necessarily belong to any sort of house. They're just knights. They're think of them more like sellswords, mercenaries. They can fight for whomever they want. And at this big tournament, you have all these big, huge houses and people that are, you know, representing all of these houses as we go forth. So he says, a hedge knight must hold tight to his pride. Without it, he was no more than a sellsword. I must earn my place in that company. If I fight well, some lord may take me into his household. I will ride in notable company then and eat fresh meat every night in a castle hall and raise my own pavilion at tourneys. But first, I must do well. Reluctantly, he turned his back on the tourney grounds and led his horses onto the trees. So that's what Dunk is really trying to do here. He's saying, if I can go to this tournament, I can do the best I possibly can. Maybe somebody will take me into service. You know, now that he's no longer working for Sir Arlen Pentry because he passes away, then I can put myself in a really good position and possibly kind of go from there. So that is where he's at from there. So, okay. So he finds himself kind of a little bit of a little bit of a place to kind of hang out with Dunk and stuff like that. And so now we're going to go try and find some armor. So we go and we meet this armorer, right? Who the Steely Pate, right? Who's this really kind of super, I think he's a really, really cool guy as we meet him. Kind of this older guy, kind of rough around the edges. And so as soon as Dunk walks in, he just kind of, oh, here, sit down. We're going to get you going here. And all of this stuff. So, the man he needed was all the way down at the end of the row, a shirt of fine chain and mail and a pair of lobstered steel gauntlets displayed on the table. You do good work, he says. None better. A stumpy man. He says, I need armor for the tourney, a suit of good mail with gorget, greaves, and great helm. The old man's half helm would fit his head, but he wanted more protection for his face than a nasal bar alone could provide. Says, you're a big one, but I've armored bigger. So then he kind of sits him down, has him kneel. He starts measuring him, and he tells him he needs 800 stags to get this armor, which is way more money than Dunk currently has. You know, so he's like 800, way more than he'd expected. And so this is where he kind of gets put into this odd position where I'm going to have to win some matches. I'm possibly going to have to sell my horse. And the way tourneys work is you can, if you win, you basically, you have to either pay your opponent or you can give them your armor, like your armor and your horse. And so Dunk is going to kind of put himself into this tricky position where he's got to enter and he's got to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he doesn't win, yeah, then he loses his armor and he has got a ransom back. Yeah.
Yeah. Which sucks, and that is what happens in the third tale, The Mystery Knight. I mean, you know, where he goes up against Kyle the Cat, right? Who's kind of one of these who's one of these tourney knights, and Dunk just loses. I mean, right off the bat, and he has no money to pay him or anything, and that's kind of where we're at. This story goes a little bit different. So really, we'll just kind of skip ahead a little bit here, because I want to get people in here. So, yeah. So basically, the next kind of big part of the story is Dunk has to go enter the lists, and this is where things get really kind of interesting, because as he goes to enter the lists, he is really kind of questioned about his actual knighthood. And this is where some people argue Dunk may actually not even be a knight.
Yeah, which is a bunch of baloney, you know?
Yes, Sir like, Uther. Like, sorry. Yeah, Sir happened. Uther the Snail. Yeah, not Kyle the Cat. Thank you, Lady Sarah, in the comments. She corrected me on that.
Yeah. The man, it's like he... Sir Arlen is an honorable man, all right? This is a squire. And, he, you know, as he's dying, he knights him. It's a big deal. And, yeah, it does kind of suck. He has to go through that and find somebody who can, you know, vouch or who knew Sir Arlen and can vouch for him or whatever. But yeah, they're questioning his knighthood. And you know, Egg was doing that out the gate as well, based upon like his get up and his gear and everything. And it's easier to accept somebody, I think, when they come in with a full suit of armor, and he might have been more, you know, accepted, I guess, if you would have really looked the part, I guess. Right. I mean, physically he is. I mean, he's huge, but
his belt is just a rope, right? And so he has mismatched armor. He's got a rope. I mean, you know, it's just so it does. He certainly doesn't look the part. So, fortunately, I mean, talk about a the way this ends up going down, right? I mean, he just gets so benefited. So the guy who's checking him in there really starts to question him, and the only reason he gets in is because Baylor Breakspear, who is next in line, right, to be the king.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like big time player.
Right.
You know, Baylor Breakspear is like, oh yeah, I fought against Sir Arlen of Pennytree. He was an honorable man, right? And Dunk is able to retell this story to him about how they once fought. Sir Arlen of Pennytree and Baylor Breakspear once fought, and then, you know, Dunk tells the story, and Baylor says, well, I think that story's been
a little
exactly, yeah, over time. And so, you know, and as every time whenever I read this, I think of just how interesting it is that you just think about the fact that Egg is staying with the horse, because if Egg had come with him, the whole thing would be blown, right? Because
it'd
be like, what are you doing? I mean, So anyway, Dunk ends up gets in, he's allowed to fight, and then he starts thinking, wow, what would happen if I ever had to fight, you know, in that, you know, against a knight, or not a knight, but a dragon, right? You know, a prince or or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, well, that's what's about to happen. And so, I will skip a little bit further here ahead, so we can start getting people in. After that, Dunk runs across Tanzel Tutal, seeing her doing sort of a play. This tall Dornish girl, you know, she's too tall. Well, not for me. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay, he doesn't actually, you know, it doesn't. So there's definitely something there, and he thinks of her in the next two stories. So, then he and Egg go and they watch some of the fights, right? Some of the fights that are going on, some of the jousting. He's not participating that day. So, after they kind of leave the tourney there, or they leave that day's worth of tourney, they say, okay, we're gonna get some food, stuff like that. We'll go to bed. And then, he ends up walking back around by Tanzel Tutal, and who is being attacked, right, by Arian Brightflame, Arian Targaryen, who is also a prince. And this is when everything goes kind of crazy, right? Everything goes crazy. Dunk walks up, kind of a heated moment, and punches him, knocks him down, starts kicking him, and then that's really where kind of the half ends. If you listen to the audiobook, that's like chapter kind of one of these two things. Dunk wakes up and he's in a cell, basically. He's in a cell, and because he has attacked a prince. So
right.
Dunk is going to have to basically now fight, right, in a trial by combat, a trial of seven. So, a trial of seven is seven versus seven. It hasn't really been used very much. I'm experiencing a little bit of tech for some reason. The trial of seven, right? Seven on seven, seven champions versus seven champions, a big, huge, open melee. Is where we're at on that. I think we're experiencing some kind of technical issues here, perhaps.
What's up?
Oh, might be experiencing. I don't know. The Facebook thing is pausing here for some reason. I'm not entirely sure. Oh. But anywho. So we have the Trial of Seven that's going to take place. Dunk now has to go find seven champions, right? So he has to go, or six. He has to go find six other people to fight with him. And Arian Targaryen is going to have six other people with him. And that's kind of where we're at, right? And then it's revealed young Aegon is Aegon Targaryen, also a prince along the lines. And so we're going to have this big, huge trial. And that's where things really pick up, right? So,
yeah.
Dunk is able to gather seven people. Arian is able to have his seven. And again, I'm just skipping now, I'm just like really skipping ahead so we can start getting people's comments and stuff in here. The fight happens, and really, Dunk wins. And the big kind of takeaway is Baelor Breakspear, who comes to fight on behalf of Dunk, who is a knight, gets his head caved in, right? And dies. And so the realm.
By his brother. Yeah.
By his brother, Maekar Targaryen, right? Who is Egg's dad, right? And so it's all because. And it all kind of circles around this hedge knight. That's kind of the whole point of the story, is this lowly little hedge knight causes this huge uproar in the realm, where Baelor Breakspear, the person who's supposed to be next in line, was supposed to be this great, amazing king, dies because of Duncan the Tall. And that's kind of how the story unfolds.
Yeah. It's like Maekar at the end, it's almost like it's crazy to him. It's hard for them to wrap their minds around the idea that a hedge knight was who was defended and whose life was at stake, and we lost a prince, and someone who, like, there were big players, big lordlings who were like, and other knights who were like in that trial by seven. And it's sort of like all for what, was this guy even worth it? He's just, who is this guy? Because a lot of hedge knights you come across, some of them are drunk, some of them are just, they're a version of sell swords, they're kind of, moving from keep to keep, just trying to make a living or get some, make their way across Westeros or whatever. So, like, it just doesn't seem right, to Maekar. And then, of course, he's also torn because he's the one who, it happened. He didn't even mean to. I think it's sort of like it just... he definitely did not mean for that to happen. So
yeah, and that's this is, I think this is supposed to be, again, let alone, we haven't got Winds of Winter yet, so we'll see what happens there, but let alone, I think this is supposed to be seven stories as well. And so I think that it's this isn't my favorite of the three stories that we currently have for Dunkin' Egg. But I do think it is like the perfect beginning for his story, because obviously we know that Dunk becomes, you know, in the Kingsguard, Lord Commander of the Kingsguard. And so his story, I think, is very, very unique. And I think it's a great way to start his story, that out of this tragedy, he's able to go on and live this huge, crazy life and be very important. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And so, yeah. And so I think it works really well. So, okay. So I really want to start getting some people's kind of thoughts, perspectives on the series. So for those of you guys who are in the Discord, whoever kind of wants in first, just leave a comment in the Discord. And then we'll kind of open up to you guys, just kind of what your thoughts are on the Dunk and the Egg series, or maybe just, you know, the Hedge Knight itself. Just some of your favorite moments, thoughts, theories. Is Dunk actually a knight? And just kind of what you think there. So, just leave a comment in that Discord, and then we can see who kind of wants to go first. But while we're waiting for that, I'm gonna take a look and see and just kind of say what some of the people are saying on the Facebook, and so we can kind of see what's going on there. Let's see here. Lady Sandy says, I've not read the novella. Interesting. He said that the Hedge Knight is 90 years before a song of ice and fire. Yeah, it is. And that's one of the things I like more about this than perhaps what we're going to get in the first prequel show, The Dance of Dragons, is because that's so far away. This is not that far away. I mean, some of these people, I mean, Aemon Targaryen, Maester Aemon is mentioned, he's referenced.
Yeah. Actually, you think about that, Maester Aemon is, he's even, so you have Aeg.
Right.
And that was his younger brother, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, Lord Adam Parker, I do have you live in the Discord chat. So if your mic is turned on and everything, then we should be good to go there.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Not much. Hanging out, long time. No speak over here.
Yeah.
trying to lay low, trying to be quiet. This is I really like these books, and you know, I only got into them from you guys, and they're better. They're written in such a different way. And you know, this first one, of course, is like, it's funny, right? It starts out, I guess it's like, if you know like the plot and you know who these characters are, it's like a joke, right? So it's like, you know who Aeg is. Like I during my reread of them, and Dunk is like, oh, did you wash the horses yet? I'll give you a clot in the ear. And it's like,
yeah,
Dunk, do you know who Aeg is?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, you know, the way that he treats them, it's like, someone's got to teach you respect. You know, or if not, like, again, the clot in the ear, it's like, you know, how Dunk was brought up. It's like spanking your children. It's like, you know, I'm going to keep doing this. You need respect. Like, oh, why didn't you wash these horses? Why didn't you put my stuff away? Like, you're a terrible stable boy. And then going into the inn, and the innkeeper is like, oh, yeah, my boy, you know, is the stable boy. And like, he's, you know, a little slow or something. And Dunk's like, yeah, no, he is. Even though he met the wrong boy.
Right.
And again, it's just everything that goes through in this first book. I'll focus on this first book here. But everything that it goes through is just like, you know, you feel bad for Dunk, and it's like, oh, it was so close to being perfect, or it was so close to being in his hands, or, you know, and luckily you do get some of the cooler Targaryens who do stand up for him. And, you know, I guess that's just chivalrous. That's what you know, it's like what Ned Stark would do, or like some of the Starks that we feel from the A Song of Ice and Fire story, knowing that the old Starks around this time period were probably not at all nice people.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Targaryens at this time period, I mean, some of them are, some of them are not, of course. But, you know, it's very different of those houses shifts. And again, to get that backstory of, you got Baratheons, you have Targaryens, you have, you know, some of these other houses that are mentioned. And it's, you know, how many times does George reference this series in A Song of Ice and Fire? And it's pretty cool. It's a nice different pace from the Song of Ice and Fire series. Definitely a recommended read for anybody who hasn't read them. And I love them. They're so short, and they go by so quickly. And I can't imagine having, what'd you say, 7 of these?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan. The plan, I think, was to have 7 of these. I mean, who knows? I mean, we still don't have Wins a Winner yet, so we'll see. And Greer gets older and older by the day. I mean,
and my conspiracy theory timeline of releasing the books of, you know, which book will have the tragedy at Summer Hall, you think?
Yeah.
Will it be the Dunkin' Egg series having it? Will it be the Fire and Blood series?
Mm-hmm,
will it be... You know, there's different terms, and I think that I think that they need to be released. Like, I think we'll get Winds of Winter. It'll have a pretty solid clue of John's backstory, or even, yeah, like Rhaegar's backstory, the tragedy at Summer Hall. And then I think they're going to put the history of the Fire and Blood out, and then, like, maybe finish it with this, or maybe, you know, bring out these books first before going into it. Because, like, each book, you need to unlock the next stage of like clues. And I think George is just going to drop clues out until we get like the full picture, which is going to be like revealed. And obviously that full picture is the Song of Ice and Fire, which is the key to the entire series. And, you know, he's got to unlock these clues.
Yeah.
That's what I think he's doing. You've heard it from me first. Again, my conspiracy theory on George's timeline release, why we haven't gotten Wins yet.
Yeah,
this has to come out. The prequel show has to come out.
yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, because we have, you know, if you go back and you actually look at when things were released, right? I mean, Ez and I have talked about this before. So, A Game of Thrones was released in 1996. Then A Clash of Kings in 1998. Well, the first Dunkin' Egg, the Hedge Knight, was released in 1998. So he is kind of writing these at the same time. If you look at when they actually, you know, came out. And so then, you know, then you've got A Sworn Sword 2003, which is after A Storm of Swords, but before A Feast for Crows. And there is some referencing about this stuff. And so maybe that's another reason why this stuff is, by some of these other things, are taking so long. Maybe he's not just writing Winds of Winter. Maybe he's also writing some of these novellas and helping with Fire and Blood. And he's like, I have, you know, all this stuff has to come out, you know, in this. The thing I think reminds me the most of is, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the meme, you know, of Charlie, where he's got the strings running all over the room and he's like pointing at the thing. I mean, like, maybe that's what he's like got in his house. And he's like, oh, no, you know, this has to come out here. This has to come out here. Like, you know. All this stuff's tied together.
He can't finish the series until he unlocks those parts, and he doesn't even know the full story. That's something that, okay, well, this is gonna happen, but then also, like, this is an old prophecy that was made for that Dunk was there for when he was at Summer Hall. Okay, and then so now I have to work on this story. I have to come up with what that prophecy was. Well, in order to get there, what did Dunk do before that? You know, getting into there, did Duncan survive the tragedy at Summer Hall? You know, is he is he Cold Hands?
Exactly.
Right? So it's like, okay, maybe that's book 7 of like this 7 book series, and maybe Summer Hall is like book 5 or 6 or something. And okay, now I have to complete Summer Hall. Duncan has to survive. He has to go up north beyond the wall. He has to become Cold Hands. He has to meet with Brendan Rivers, who, again, huge part in these books. Like, it's so intertwined. And then, like, once George figures that out, then he's like, okay, now then I can go back to Winds of Winter and finish this piece, because that was the clue that was missing. And, like, I couldn't, you know, I didn't know exactly who Cold Hands was as a character, because I had to go back and explain on and refresh myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be really interesting. So I just pulled it up here. These are the other he's talked about these as potential titles, right? He said The Sellsword, The Champion, The King's Guard, The Lord Commander is, you know, the potential titles for some of these other you know, went to these other things, the potential other stories.
So the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch or Lord Commander of the
It just says the king. It just says so the potential other titles. So four others. Right, so we have three. Yeah. So yeah, the Sellsword, the Champion. So the Sellsword would be interesting. The Champion, we know it would. I'm guessing he's gonna be fighting in some tourney. The Kingsguard. And then just the Lord Commander is what the last one's called. So he's either the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard or yeah, could be Lord Commander of the.
Is it called Lord Commander of the Kingsguard or are you?
I think so. I think Barriss and Selmy is the Lord. It's the same title for both. Yeah. Let me look that up. Well, Jaime Lannister is also one.
Kingsguard.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, okay. I think you are the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard is the same title. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
could you imagine though if like then exactly. You know, Summerhall, the tragedy of Summerhall when he's in the Kingsguard. I guess we know he becomes Lord Commander of the Kingsguard. And then like could you imagine if he like has to go to the wall cuz like maybe it was his fault. Not his fault, but
right.
It was obviously Egg's fault, but maybe Brendan Rivers doesn't know that. You know what I mean? So he thinks it's like Dunk's fault and like or the next king in line.
Right. Or maybe he just it's Dunk's or maybe fault. or maybe he just feels responsible and that's where he
right, exactly.
Go.
And like exiles himself to the wall and goes up like with the Raven's Tooth, you know, and then becomes Cold Hands. Like this is
yeah.
This is legit. I'm super serious on that. So exactly like his trajectory.
Yeah, it's great. I want to get one comment in here from Edward. He says, overall, I love the Western-like feel aspect of the Dunk and Egg stories compared to the rest of the series, which I think is a really good point because it does have that kind of feel. It kind of reminds me a little bit of. Well, I mean, I should say that this reminds me a little bit of that, I guess is the way it was. Kind of like the Mandalorian a little bit, right? You know, Star Wars, like Baby Yoda and Mando
yeah,
kind of out
Yoda's
there
there.
And they're out doing these individual little stories and stuff like that. I mean, there's plenty right. of other ones as well, but that is kind of like, oh yeah, it's kind of got that kind of a feel.
Right. Duncan is like a cowboy on his horse.
Right.
You know, and it like his like Poncho and Lefty or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. exactly.
It's the only one I can think of, but yeah. Any of the other John Wayne-esque Clint Eastwood westerns where it's like they always have that traveling companion. They always have those two horses, even though three horses and there's only two people or something like that.
Right.
And it's like,
A lighter toned thing. I mean, let's just make it happen. Disney, HBO, get together, hire Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau to get Gurr involved and just do the Dunk and Egg series, put it on Disney Plus, put it on HBO. Everyone will be like, this is great, you know, just get those.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I trust Jon Favreau
to finish the
series without direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Properly.
Yeah, exactly. As Dave Filoni, I think he'd be great.
Yeah, no, those guys are.
They would do a phenomenal job. Yeah.
Oh man, I can't say. They could be a whole different podcast of talking how good they are. And
oh
they should
yeah.
Definitely do this. Let's petition. Well, let's,
we, yeah, we
to
need.
Guys, right?
Yeah,
they
we
should,
need. To, we
we'll
need.
Be heard.
Yeah, we need to make. We need to make this happen. Get Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau in there. So. Awesome.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. Well, let's. Thanks for that, Lord Adam Parker. Let's see if we can get somebody else in here who wants to comment on this. Get somebody else. So whoever wants to go next, just leave a comment in there. Who would you guys like to see play Dunk? Says Lady Sarah Ez. Who do you think would play a great Sir Dunk in the Tall?
Lord, we're gonna have to find somebody pretty tall. You know, I don't know, tall because he's. He's also thick as a castle wall too, so you know it's got to be like this, you know, big thick guy. I don't know. We'd have to find. I wonder if it'd be. Yeah, it'd need to be somebody who could act right at the same time. That's tough to find. Sometimes somebody who can do both because you got like the guy who plays the mountain, right? Like these guys who are big
Hathor Bjorgsson. Dunk's a little bit lean. But... Yeah, Dunk's a little bit leaner than that. You know, the guy who I like actually. So I have been watching. I've been watching the Umbrella Academy on Netflix. Have you seen that? Like came out late last year. Yeah, okay, it's like really good. Like I'm obsessed. It's almost like it's kind of like X-Men, kind of like Heroes, like the first season Heroes. Remember Heroes? I was like the first season Heroes was like the biggest deal in the world. Yeah, really big. Yeah. So the guy who plays Dickon Tarly, right? Remember Sam's brother who is like an idiot and just gets burned by the dragon. Yeah. So that guy's in it, and I, you know, he's in Game of Thrones for like two episodes, right? And he just gets burnt to a crisp. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, so we were watching it, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, that's the guy who plays Dickon Tarly, right? He's like really good. Now that I actually get to see him, and I'm watching this show, this Umbrella Academy show, and I was like, this guy's really good. I think he'd be a great Dunk. He's a big, tall guy, and he's already worked with HBO. And stuff like that. Yeah, I think he'd be, give him some long hair, I think he'd be great. So I don't know his name, but, you know, somebody like that, yeah, you would definitely need somebody kind of taller.
Yeah. You know, here's a question for you, Sir Matt. Like, the or Rock. Anyone who's
yeah, the Rock. The Rock's Rock. In anything at this point.
Oh, good God. I don't know about that. You know, like you and Lord Adam were talking about the idea that is he writing two books at the same time? Like, is he working on some of this stuff and tying it back to Summer Hall and this series or whatever? I think he may be. I mean, there's enough clues and there's enough things that, like, at different conventions and speaking opportunities, he's talked about the connection that was made in A Feast for Crows to the series. And he's told people to, like, you know, pay attention. Things will be revealed in time as to how, like, you know, Brienne is descended from Duncan and that whole thing. So, I mean, yeah, he's trying to weave in that piece as well. And since the titles are out, it almost makes me think that maybe he does have a lot of it written, but it's just sort of sketched out. It's just sort of outlined and not really... He could easily fill it out when he's ready to, but making it all kind of work.
Yeah, well, and the interesting thing I think is how he just doesn't want it to come out yet, right? Because he could have just released it when they did World of Ice and Fire. They could have said, "Well, this is how they die," right? But they said, you know, he wanted to do like an actual, you know, and if you're reading it, they said, "Well, but ink blotted the paper," and so. So it wasn't revealed because he said, "I'm not ready to reveal it yet." But they could have released it then. Something I'm actually wondering if it's going to just be the same or if it's going to be we may get a little more detail to it in Fire and Blood Part 2 because Gurr isn't writing those. Other people are writing those and he's basically kind of saying, "Here, do this." And then there's other people really writing those books or taking a lot of his work and adapting it in a way that it works in Fire and Blood. And so, I mean, I actually think that, you know, if we don't get Winds of Winter, I think the next book we will see is Fire and Blood Part 2 because he's going to be pressured by HBO to get it out to go along with a Targaryen-based prequel series, right? I mean... We're going to, you know, okay, we're Game of Thrones is back on TV. We're going to need another book and more merchandise and stuff like that. And since he's not actually writing it, you know, it's possible if we don't, you know, Winds of Winter, we still don't see for like another 5 years or whatever, that's the next thing we see.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually even thinking too, once this prequel show comes out, like, I mean, again, if Winds, I'm hoping it's going to be out before then, but if it's not, more pressure, one, to finish that, two, more pressure than even to go, you know, and kind of sign off on whether it's, you know, the volume two or even some of these other works, you know. So, you would think the series ends and George gets away from the pressure, and it's like, no, it's still more TV show to come, and people are, you know, where's the author on these books? What's going on? So,
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to read some more of the comments here. On Facebook, we have just some comments here. Let's see. Chris says, "I love Dunkin' Egg series. So glad you guys are digging into this." Yeah, it's again as an I love it.
It's great.
Lady Sarah, his story tends to stay true every time he gets questioned about it, at talking about is he actually a knight or so. Sir Arlen Penitentiary knighted me before he died, or did he? The helm holding his head together and his word slurring. Yeah, Baylor breaks Pierce's death. I mean, you know, everything is just like pretty low key, chill. And then you hit that, and you're like, oh yeah, this is Gurr, right? You know, this is still Gurr. It's just like, oh, it might honestly be the
monumental.
It's like I think it might honestly be the most brutal, like few lines to read in the entire series for me. I mean, even more, you know, there's obviously far worse stuff that happens in Game of Thrones, but for me that's the one that's like, oh, it's just so hard to read.
Well, yeah, and what I think is amazing too in this short little novel, that one, you can fall so in love with Dunk and Egg and Baelor Breakspear, and like, and have enough, you're like, he can do that so quickly to you. And I guess, again, we already know a lot about the world, and so it's sort of why this works. Like, we already are in love with Westeros, but still, like, we love those characters so much. And Baelor, I'm like, let's go. This is how it's supposed to be done. And, yeah, for him to die, it was huge. It was huge. Also, on Lady Sarah's point, you know, one of the things I think, just in the notes, if you go to the wiki, they kind of say that people refer to this quote where he said that he knew what it was like to want something so badly that you would tell a monstrous lie just to get it. And, you know, that's people speculating that maybe he lied about his knighthood. And those people can go to the seven hells. All right.
Wow.
Because, because come on, you know, Sir Dunk's not lying about that. Come on.
Yeah. But. No, I don't think he's lying. Okay, let's see here. Lady Sandy. Yeah, from Flea Bottom to Lord Commander of the Kingsguard. Yeah, and that's his story, and that's what makes him so cool. Because, you know, I think the difference is Dunk is his story's already been told, right? And so when we look at people like Jon, we're like, where are they going to go? But we can look at Dunk and be like, you know, he has this great epic story. And he's just such a likable guy, right? He's not somebody like Jaime, who's, you know, kind of an anti-hero, starts out as a villain, then we kind of like him, and then... You know, even just if you look at Show Jamie, you may not like the way he ends his story, you know, or even somebody maybe trying to think of some other people that are possibly like that. You know, Stannis is very standoffish. Some people like him. Some people don't. I mean, Dunk's just good. He's just a good guy from the get go.
Yeah. You know, one thing, people make a lot of connections to between Dunk and like Davos, just because, you know, coming from Flea Bottom and coming from or understanding what it's like to come from, you know, nothing, and then to acquire that. Although, you know, Dunk seems to acquire his knighthood much earlier, Davos later on, just through, you know, the onions that were delivered and so on. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's, and also when Davos is written, and I feel sort of the same type of, he likes Davos. Like, I think George likes him, and I think, well, we're meant to like him too. So I don't know. It feels similar to me sometimes when I think about his story and stuff. So
yeah, Lady Sarah saying Duncan Davos is a good comparison. Yeah, and again, anybody who wants to actually who's in the Discord and wants to speak on air, just say so in the Discord, and we'll get you guys hopping in here. But yeah, Lady Sandy kind of provides a summary here. Well, as I do some research, this is cool. Some 20 years later, Egg became King Aegon the Fifth Targaryen, more commonly known as Aegon the Unlikely. Sir Duncan was again Aegon's sworn shield as Knight of the Kingsguard. Ultimately, he was raised to Lord Commander, the finest and most famous knight in the land. Although Sir Duncan had never approved of his squire's desire to hatch a dragon's egg, he was present at Summerhall when the king attempted to do so. The result was a disastrous fire that came to be remembered as the tragedy of Summerhall. Despite Sir Duncan's skill and great strength, he died, unable to save his king or his namesake, Duncan, Prince of Dragonflies. King Aegon's granddaughter, Princess Rhaella, gave birth to a son, Prince Rhaegar, at some point during this disaster. And that's the other thing, right, is it's not like, you know, Dunk's story also would, if it were just simply Duncan the Tall and it were just a story about a big, you know, the big guy who's a knight and goes on this, you know, he's also tied to possibly, I mean, huge epic, you know, Song of Ice and Fire. I mean, Azor Ahai, like all of this stuff he's tied into. I mean, it's huge. Like,
yeah, he is, you know, what we often sometimes, so Sir Barristan Selmy, right? Who's there, who's in our series, who we get to talk to and who's still there. He beat him. You know, I mean, he fought him. He was there. He may be able to tell us something, you know, like he may know more about these events and these things. So it's funny to me, like Barrison Selmy's there, and we see these subtle little connections that he was the knight who, Dunk lost to, or when he was Lord Commander. It just, I don't know. Those types of things make me go, okay, there's more to be revealed here, and
Was
we're going to drop
Barristan
some of these nuggets.
Selmy in the Kingsguard at when Summerhall happened?
Let's see. So,
Like, is it possible he was it possible he was there? Because because you think a lot of Kingsguard would have been there, right?
yeah,
I mean,
so he when he
the
was.
king is there, and a lot of the royal family is there. I mean, just because Barristan Selmy, it's not mentioned that Barristan Selmy was, doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what they talk about. Like when he was 16 is when he defeated Dunk in that tourney. He was defeated. Like when Dunk was Lord Commander, he was defeated by this 16-year-old. So he's definitely available. Let me see if I can find when exactly, or maybe someone can search it up there and see exactly when he entered into the, or what year maybe
Yeah,
that would have
well,
been.
yeah, Barristan Selmy receives his knighthood at the age of 16 from King Aegon the Fifth Targaryen after unhorsing, Sir Duncan the Tall. So he becomes a knight during the War of the Nine Penny Kings, which takes place after Summerhall. Barristan slew Maelys the First Blackfyre, and I think that is when he gets his king. He was named the Kingsguard. While King Jaehaerys the Second Targaryen bestowed the White Cloak to him, so he enters the Kingsguard after the tragedy at Summerhall. So he was just so he was just so he was just a knight.
I still think, he could convey rumors and maybe things that might have happened,
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, absolutely.
And he met, like, we don't even know too what all was going at Summerhall, like Rhaegar's name day, like who all was there, what all was happening.
And the Jenny of Oldstone stuff, and how close of a relationship did Dunk have with Duncan Targaryen, right? Who he's named after him. Like they may have been good friends. You look at like Davos and Shireen Baratheon. So just because they're not family doesn't mean they're not necessarily good friends. And what that insight we could have to Summerhall would be huge, right? And maybe that's another reason why Ger isn't. I actually would also not be surprised if Ger doesn't write about it. Like it's not in. Does it end that way? Does it? Let's assume that the last Dunk and Egg series is Summerhall. Does it end that way? Is it? Is it ambiguous? Is it left for interpretation? Does it flat out say he dies or he lives? And we just don't. It's never written about. Another way. It's all about perception, all about perspective. That's how Gurr writes.
I actually like the idea, you and Lord Adam were talking that maybe we would see sort of like a last chapter or an epilogue or something afterwards. And it's sort of what, I mean, Sir Dunk could go to Winterfell at any time, but like we see in A Dance of Dragons, like Bran has that vision of some, girl kissing a very this tall knight, and Hodor is there and everything. But yeah, do we see him maybe go to the Wall, or is it just referenced that he went there? Because you wonder, like people who go to the Wall, are they just forgotten? We forget about them and their life. It's almost as if their life ends. They go there, life continues, but yet does it? I mean, are they remembered at all? Are they important enough to write in the histories and things like that? It seems to be a thing with George's writing and just this place. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm gonna pull up just some of the later life stuff that we know just kind of Dunk does. So we have, so after Tourney of White Walls, which is the second Blackfyre Rebellion, that Dunk puts down single-handedly, puts down him and that's the Mystery Knight, which is the third Dunk and Egg book. So we know at some point after that they go to Winterfell. Then at some point, Prince Aegon Targaryen named his firstborn son and heir Duncan. Duncan the Small, right? In late 233, which is roughly, 70 years before, well, a little bit less than like 67 years before the main series, Aegon ascends the throne, becomes Aegon the Fifth Targaryen. Duncan escorts Aegon's brother, Prince Aemon, to Eastwatch by the Sea. And, you know, that's interesting, too, because I think we always just assume Maester Aemon was at Castle Black, but he wasn't. So he first goes actually to Eastwatch by the Sea. And so where Aemon was going to join the Night's Watch. So, you know, that's something else I think something I miss a lot is we think about, well, Bloodraven's there. Well, Bloodraven's at Castle Black because he is the Lord Commander. And so then Aemon's at Eastwatch by the Sea. But, I mean, obviously they're communicating. Duncan eventually joins the Kingsguard. The first reference is 236. I mean, I would imagine that he's obviously in the Kingsguard probably at 233, really, even though he's first mentioned at 236. I mean, the second Egg becomes king, you know, Dunk is in the Kingsguard as long as there's an open spot.
Yeah, right.
236, he fights in the fourth Blackfyre Rebellion, kills Daemon the Third. In 239, he takes on Lionel Baratheon, right? When Lionel Baratheon's, that's the whole Jenny of Oldstones incident, which again could be huge.
Yeah, the betrothal. Because
Jenny of Oldstones could be a huge, huge, big deal. 252, Duncan becomes Lord Commander, where he is defeated by Barriss and Selmy. 259 is the tragedy at Summerhall. So, I mean, you've got a good, 20 more years in there where Dunk and Egg are having adventures as Egg being king, right? So there's a lot of stories and stuff like that. And then every story that we get to is that much less further away from the main series. I mean, at this point, you're talking 259. You're 40 years ahead of the main 40 years ago, right, of the main series. And so there's a lot of stuff you can say in that. I mean, we could see like a young Tywin Lannister. We could see, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do.
Well, and that's actually what's kind of neat about the main series is that you're able to, any of those characters who have been around or who are slightly older, that older cast, they can kind of, they saw Sir Duncan the Tall. They knew who he was, or they passed by him, or you know, whatever. They lived when he was here. So Sir Duncan is older, they are younger, but they can kind of pass on some of that, which is, I think, really cool. And sometimes a lot of times what George will do. So I keep kind of wondering who is it that's going to drop that next, you know, little nugget for us or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And I mean, and a lot, they go back and forth too, because I mean, you look at this, let me see some stuff that's mentioned about Dunk in the main series. You have, you know, when Jamie talks about him, with the book, right. With the book of the Kingsguard, A Feast for Crows. For unknown reasons, a shield with Dunk's original arms came to reside at the armory of Lord Selwyn Tarth at Evenfall Hall. While at Duskendale, Selwyn's father, Brienne, remembering the arms, has them painted on her shield so she can travel the Crownlands and Riverlands incognito. And again, it's also, we also know, I mean, Gurs basically said it in A So Spake Martin and stuff like that Brienne of Tarth is a... Mm-hmm. is a descendant of Duncan the Tall.
Yeah.
So Dunk's hooking up with somebody, right? I mean, he's...
Right.
Yeah. And then I would have to imagine at some point Tanzel Tutal, who's this character who, you know, Dunk keeps thinking about, she comes back into play at some point. You know, Maester Aemon relates that when he joins the Night's Watch, his brother Egg insisted Sir Duncan accompany him to Eastwatch. Maester Aemon also dreams of his youth in Old Town. You know, stuff like that. Dance of Dragons. Bran Stark has a vision of the past through Winterfell's heart tree. Among the vision is a slender brown-haired girl kissing a knight as tall as Hodor, who is most likely Dunk. And a lot of people think that woman is Old Nan, and also that Old Nan is what's her name? Redwine.
Lady Webber.
Exactly. Yeah. Rohan Webber, because she was also really small and stuff like that. And it's possible that's when Dunk and her meet up. I mean, there's so much stuff, man. There's so many interconnections in just Duncan's story, let alone the main series.
Yeah. Well, one thing, as you're reading, I've thought this before and I've never really asked it, but like, why does he send an escort with Maester Aemon? You know, I've read before that the idea is why? I mean, that's not something typical you would do, although he's a Targaryen. That's really why it's his brother. But why not just send a different escort? Why send Sir Dunk? And Is it because people were trying to would hold him ransom, or they were trying to maybe put some pressure on the king, or they wanted to use him in another way? I don't really know, but interesting though that he sends his lord commander to escort a maester there, and then you hear about from Marwyn the Mage that there was some resentment towards Maester Aemon, and I actually think there was a lot of pressure from the Citadel for him to actually become king, because then he would, being a former maester, maybe would give the Citadel and the maesters more power.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Lady Sarah commented said Lady Rowan was more of a ginger, though. That is true. Yeah. Perhaps old Nan could be another mystery lady. But then again, I also think, it's Winterfell. Perhaps it's just the way Bran is seeing it at that moment. Because I've seen that argument or maybe she's just some other mystery lady. It could actually just be old Nan, right? But then you think about, well, Hodor. Right? Is Hodor a descendant of Ser Duncan the Tall? Because if that would make a lot of sense, if it's old Nan and she's just, maybe old Nan is just old Nan, right? And that's how Hodor, continue that line down, why Hodor's so big.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have kind of, like, he's confirmed one reference to his descendant, but then not another, or maybe the other. So yeah, that would be, I like to think he is. I really do.
And then who's
so.
The guy at the wall? Is possibly Ser Duncan's heir or whatever.
Say that again.
The guy at the wall, like Small Paul or something like that, where people think he's also.
Oh yeah, who's
Small like, Paul? Just because
He's super. He's super tall and everything. Yeah. And there's a couple lines and references around him that kind of make it seem as if he's like he's, I don't think they actually say he's thick as a castle wall or not, but they say something like that near, like around him, and you're like, wait a second. It's one of those lines that's repeated in the series.
Yeah. I'm looking at just the rest of his wiki page to see if there's anything else. There's not a ton, but the thing, again, the thing I just like about this series, The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, Duncan Egg, right, the whole deal, is just the ties that it has. And I think it's a better insight to the Blackfyre Rebellion than World of Ice and Fire, or maybe Fire and Blood Part 2 will be, because you just get that with Eustace Ospreay, right, in the second one, the Sworn Sword, you get his side of why he supported the Blackfyres, which is huge, is huge. It's huge that we get that. And so that's what I think it just allows Gerd to do a lot more world building and stuff like that. And I think just the way, as Adam Parker had said, it's just written so differently.
Yeah. So someone said at one point that there were, and I'm just in Reddit right now looking at this, that George early on had said that there are four descendants possibly in the main series.
Of Dunk.
Yeah.
People have argued. I've seen the argument for Clegane's, right? Because the mountain is so big.
Oh yeah. Okay. Huh. Yeah, it's wild. That's wild.
Yeah, they say. Yeah, they say with Smallfall that he, Adam Parker and Lady Becky, he's as thick as a castle wall, is what they say about Smallfall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like there's that little tiny little possible connection there. So and he likes animals, and he likes, like, he's really, fond of them and their company versus, So
yeah, and I'm gonna pull up this the thing here. We did a huge Patreons episode about it, but just kind of quickly reference it here. The idea that that Dunk could be Cold Hands, right? And a lot of it, just because a lot of it ties into, if you read the Mystery Knight, where he's talking about who, Blood Raven, oh, he's a friend, right? And stuff like that. And so that's what he says in the cave as the Three-Eyed Crow about Cold Hands. Oh, he's a friend. And so people have tied those two together, and saying that's why it seems, who is the Three-Eyed Crow? A friend, right? And so that's why there's that connection there.
Yeah. By the way, there are some people, who kind of get confused about like Brienne being a descendant, and it's a descendant, not necessarily like his
Daughter.
daughter or grand or great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
So
like
I think people, yeah.
even Hodor would be probably his grandson, because it's Old Nan's grandson. Well, it may be Old Nan's great grandson or something. She just doesn't really, realize
Yeah,
that
because
this
I just
is.
see I see that a lot of times where people are kind of like, well, how is it that he's a Lord Commander and yet like Brienne is this lady born from a high lord and everything, and it's like, well, a lot of different things happen. There's a lot that could like it could just be that he like fathered this I don't know, maybe he was sleeping in the same bed as some other guy. I don't with
Right.
who knows? Lots of things could happen.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, let me see here. That's all, but that's about all they say about Small Paul and Dunk. Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right, man. Well, anybody else, if anybody else has any other comments or anybody wants to join in again on the Patreon, or excuse me, on the Discord, just kind of just say so in the Discord chat and we can get you on here. But yeah, again, the first of the books, The Hedge Knight, I just, it's great. As I literally can talk about these all day. We've done tons of episodes just on these, 'cause I think it's good, and I think it's a good place to go expand once you've read the books, once you've read, the five books that we have, and you're like, I want to go start to explore the rest of this series. I would encourage people to go here first. And then probably World of Ice and Fire, and then Fire and Blood, I think for me is the place, the way I would read them in that order.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned this in a bit, but I think we've talked about going back and doing some more YouTube content just for a lot of this older stuff as we get prepped for the new show and get our minds wrapped around those characters, those events, and those stories. And it's exciting. This is, like you said, we said this at the top of the show, kind of like a stepping stone, and it's just good to get familiar because you're still close to the main series. You don't have to go clear back to Aegon's Conquest. You can come down here and kind of like a lot of, because when you go back to Aegon's Conquest, a lot of the lords and the different people who were in control of a kingdom or a region, they were different, so you have like the Gardeners instead of the Tarly, instead of the Tyrells and stuff. So it's a stepping stone, and then you can kind of go back, and plus it's fun and it's just a
Right.
freaking great story.
Yeah, and I think, and I do think it's possible that we one day actually I will or certainly could get a Dunkin' Egg TV series. But I think right now I one of the reasons I think that they canceled the Long Night and went with the Targaryen, the House of Dragons, right? Is just that I think they wanted something closer to Game of Thrones, and what it was with like King's Landing and all that stuff, more of the political side of it rather than like the magic side. But I think that, if that show does well and they say, hey, we want to do another one of these, I think it's possible we could have two shows on at once. And I think that this is probably a little more likely than even maybe Robert's Rebellion, because they would want something slightly different. And I think really the only other place to go is if you didn't want to go back and do Long Night, you either do. And you want something that way it's not like so much. I think this would be the place, logical place to go.
Yeah, and that's where I was saying earlier, like it's like, dang, I mean, like that's something they're gonna have to talk to George about, and just sort of, I mean, again, they don't really have to, but it's like the pressure would be on then. It's like, how much of
Right.
this do you have done, and what's the tie-in like? So,
Well, I mean,
'cause it would be great. It'd be perfect.
I think just with the Hedge Knight, you could knock out one. I think you could do almost a. You could do on almost two seasons, because you could do one season that was like just Dunk and Arlen, right? Like him learning or something. I don't know. And
Yeah,
then
I would love to see that.
we
Yeah,
know
if
that
they
they
wanted to
we know
kind
that
of,
they
yeah.
fought, that they that Arlen fought, in some battles and stuff like that. And
Yeah, take some liberties and show us stuff. Yeah, I would love to see Dunk as a squire. Yeah.
yeah, as a
Heck
oh as a
yeah.
squire, and yeah, it'd be yeah it'd be it'd be great.
Getting a cloud across his head.
Oh, absolutely. And then obviously, I mean, there's so much, you get towards the end and it's like huge, bigger Song of Ice and Fire, bigger stuff that ties directly into the main series, right? I mean, you like you could show Rhaegar Targaryen's birth, right? It's a huge deal. Huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And then if you wanted to do Robert's Rebellion after that, well, there you go, man. I mean, you end that series with Rhaegar's birth, and then you go right into Robert's Rebellion.
Right. Yep. Yeah. That'd be the way. Yeah. Yeah. To do it.
That would totally be the way to do it. So, let me see. Any other last comments here? Well, not really. So, all right, as well. All right, guys, everybody kind of stay safe out there, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is what's going on. I mean, it is crazy times out there. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and also look forward to, I mean, like legitimately, and apologize at the top of the show, like I literally had the internet guy here working on stuff, had three things scheduled at once. It was nuts. But I'm really looking forward to, you know, just getting some more content out there and doing some fun stuff as I get kind of set up here. I'm super amped. So be looking for that and more of these hangouts. And whether it's a Raven's Nest or not, I think we've kind of, you know, Sir Matt and I are looking at establishing a day to just to kind of come in and talk. And it's good to really, it actually helps me kind of keep fresh because we bounce around to so many different fandoms. Mm-hmm. That are pretty thick and mm-hmm. with novels and just stuff. So, it's good to come to a hangout with you guys and just sort of talk about stuff and have people looking stuff up in the wiki and adding to the conversation. So this has been just next level for me and it's actually a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to more of this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've had a cleaning lady here and stuff like that. I hit the gym first and stuff like that. And so I was like, I didn't even shower or anything, so I look pretty awful on stream right now. But it's okay. But we're just here hanging out. And we're going to be doing a lot more of these hangouts, just popping in on Facebook and stuff like that now that we've got it all kind of dialed in and set up. So absolutely love doing these. So all right, guys. Well, I don't have my script in front of me, so I'm going to try to remember how we end the show.
Me neither.
Try and remember how we end the show. Well, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. Next week we are into a Tyrion chapter. I'm not sure exactly which Tyrion chapter it is. Again, because we're just doing this Raven's Nest. We always kind of do live and just kind of hanging out more. Just a bigger open discussion. I think it's Tyrion 3 of A Clash of Kings. But remember that the night is dark and full of terror. Oh.
Thank you for watching.